We were at Pasuk Yud. We're in the middle of the Haftorah for fast days. Dirshu Hashem b'himotzo k'ra'u b'yoto karov. That began, that was Pasuk 6, Pasuk Vav, in chapter 55. As we said, it's the Haftorah that is read more often than any other Haftorah. Is there something with the mic today, or is... I thought you were going to say that my voice sounds so mellifluous. No word like that? So this is the Haftorah that is read more than any other, and of course it is read on a fast day, because a fast day is a time to do tshuva, and that's really the essence of the entire chapter. Seek God when He is found, k'ra'u, call unto Him, v'hiyoto karov, when He is close. And as we began to explain last week, the Malbim tells us that in this chapter, one of the major questions that people have about the whole idea of tshuva is answered by Yeshayahu. There were those who said tshuva is impossible, because tshuva would mean, therefore, that God changes His mind. All right, now you're bad. Oh, no, okay. I'm going to bring punishment. Oh, no, now I'm not going to bring punishment. So this is one of the serious problems. God, who is perfection, doesn't change His mind. We who are mere mortals, well, new information becomes available to us, and therefore we change our minds. But how can we say about God that He changes His mind? So therefore, we'll read quickly the Pesukim further. Yazov Rosh Darko, Pasuk 7. Huh? 55. Yazov Rosh Darko, let the Rosh leave his way, the ish oven, mashavotav, and a person should forsake, leave his evil thoughts, v'yashov al Hashem v'yirachameu, and he shall return to God, and God will have mercy on him, or as I always say, v'yirachameu also means, and he will love him. V'el elokeinu, ki yarvel islorach, to our God, because he forgives. Now, if you may ask, how is it possible for God to change His mind, and all of a sudden He becomes forgiving, when before that He wanted to bring punishment? My thoughts are not like your thoughts. We live in different planes. Your ways are not my ways. No, Hashem, says God. As heaven stands so much higher than earth, my ways are much higher than your ways, and my thoughts are so much different than your thoughts. Now, that's just a general statement of introduction. Now he has to indeed explain how is it that tshuva works without God having to change his mind. So he's going to give the example of rain or snow that comes down upon the earth. Now, if the earth had been plowed and planted, and then the rain comes down upon it, then of course it's going to grow, because the earth is ready for it. But what happens if the rain is going to come down and the earth hasn't been plowed nor planted? Absolutely nothing will happen. Nothing is going to happen. So he says, the change never takes place in God. The change always takes place in man. He is always ready, and for that matter, He pours out His goodness toward man. But either man is ready for it or he's not ready for it. If he has plowed and he has planted and he has made himself ready to receive God's great gifts, then he will. So there's no change taking place in God. He's always Avinu of Arachman, our Father who is merciful. The change takes place in man. And for that matter, there's a very beautiful Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam says the power of Tshuva is the following. Emesh, last night, Hoyozeh, this person was an abomination, despised and loathed by God. Shukot, all of the bad words you want, the Rambam uses. And then he says, along comes tshuva, and this same person who had been so loathsome, now all of a sudden is beloved, he's a friend, nikro yedid, he's called a friend, ohuv, beloved, reya, because the change takes place in man, not in God. And therefore, Yeshayahu goes on to say, ki kasher yered hageshem v'hashelag min hashamayim, just as the rain and the snow comes down from the heavens, v'shoma lo yashuv, it will not return there unless, because it's going to do a job, and the job is ki im hirvat haaretz, it will slake the thirst of the land, v'holida v'hitzmicha. You're too good. Now, I may even spend a second here on Yeshayahu, and then we're going to make it a requirement. Nobody comes into class without a text. The Holita, it will give birth, the Hitzmicha, and it will grow, the Natan Zera. Ah, to whom will it give seed? Lazoreya, to the one who planted. The Lechem, and therefore there will be bread, La'ochel, for one to eat. But it all depended on whether he was Zoreya. Did he plant? Kein yedvariya sheyetzen yipi, so shall be my word that goes out of my mouth, lo yoshuv elai dekam, it will not return to me empty. Ki im asat asher chafatzti, it will do that which I want, v'hitzliach, and it will succeed, asher shalachtiv, to the one whom I sent it. And the Malbim here gives the mashal of a father who sends somebody with money to give money to his son so that his son should go to medical school. I think this was the last thing we were talking about. Or in Masali, the modern version would be that he gives him money to go sit and learn in Kolel. Understand? So now, in the event that the son is going to do it, he's going to agree, yes, I'm going to medical school. So then the money is going to remain with the son, and he's not going to bring it back to the father. So it will return, they come empty. What happens if the son doesn't want to go to medical school? He rejects it. So you know what's going to happen? The one who's taking the money is going to have to bring it back. So he says, anything God says, anything that comes out of my mouth, lo yashuv elai dekam, doesn't return empty, because it's going to do that which it was destined to do. And that which I send will succeed. But what does it depend on? It depends on the son being willing to go to medical school. That's all that it depends on. And therefore, here we move into something that may seem different, but it's always related. The two usually come together throughout Tanakh, and that begins in Parashat Nitzavim itself. The Parashat of Tshuva is always paired and twinned with the parasha of Geula, redemption. Where is the parasha of Tshuva in Torah? It's in Nitzavim, where God says that, at the end of days you will do Tshuva, v'shav Hashem elokecha tshvutcha, and God is going to return your captivity, v'richamecha, and He will love you, v'shav Hashem, and He will gather you in from all the nations. Geula and Tshuva are always twinned together. So now therefore he says, if there's going to be this process of tshuva, of yazov rosh adarko, v'ish oven machshev hotav, then ki besimcha teitzeyo, you will go out with great joy. From where are you going to go out? Rashi says in two words, min hagalut. The process of tshuva is going to bring geula that much closer. You shall go out with joy, ubishalom tuvalon, and in peace you will be brought back to Eretz Israel, and it's going to be an infectious joy that is going to burst forth from all of nature. Heharim v'hagvaot yiftzichu lefneichem dina, the mountains and the hills will burst open before you in song. V'chol atzei hasadeh, and all of the trees of the field, yimchau chach, are going to clap. I mean, you get like the beauty of the metaphors is so gorgeous. Like all of nature smiles on you. All of nature smiles. Like when you're feeling good and you get up in the morning, you know, you feel that everything is so beautiful out there. If you're not feeling too well, you know, you don't even notice what's going on out there. But when things are going well, all of nature, it opens up before the Jewish people. But Rashi takes us one step further, and this is something, of course, that you will remember from many shiurim that we've said. The mountains and the hills are going to burst forth with joy. How will they express it? So Rashi says, "Sheyitnu lachem piryam," they will give you their fruit, "vitzimcham," and that which grows, "v'yehanu yoshveha," and all of the inhabitants of the land will enjoy it. In other words, this is what we have said often is another expression of the Kates Hamigula, the revealed end of days, that when Eretz Yisrael begins to give out its produce, that we know that the process of Geula, it's not simply that the mountains are going to dance. Their joy is going to be expressed by virtue of the fact that they're going to give out their fruit. Tachat Hanatzutz. Now he continues the metaphor, because what's he been talking about? He's been talking about land that is planted. Now, the metaphors over here, one flows into the next. He wants to explain how tshuva works. So the Navi tells us about land, if it's planted, then the rain is going to come down, and out will come grain, right? Now, once you have done tshuva, there will be an abundance of growth in the field, because that's how the joy of the mountains and the hills will be expressed. And furthermore, it will also mean the removal of evil. The removal of evil is described as the removal of thorns and thistles from the land. Tachat hana'atzutz ya'aleh v'rosh, v'tachat ha'sirpad ya'aleh hadas. Na'atzutz and sirpad are different kind of thorns. In place of the na'atzutz will come a v'rosh. What kind of tree is a v'rosh?
Cypress,
alright. V'tachat ha'sirpad ya'aleh hadas. In other words, beautiful trees, beautiful bushes with great scent. The na'atzutz and the sirpad represent the removal of the weeds, or that which hurts growth. And Rashi says, he has to explain to us, what does it mean? In place of the deshayim, in place of the evil, the tzaddikim, the righteous will rise. Righteous will rise. The Gemara says, "Tachas hana'atzutz ya'aleh v'rosh," in place of Haman will come Mordechai. "V'tachat hasirpad ya'aleh hadas," in place of Vashti will come Esther, whose name is Hadassah. And remember, this is read the day before Purim, Tainus Esther. "Tachat hana'atzutz ya'aleh v'rosh, v'tachat hasirpad ya'aleh hadas. V'hoyo la'Hashem l'shem la'ot olam lo yikareit." This will be God's name. It means the following. When Israel suffers, the name of God is desecrated. When Israel rises, then the name of God rises. This is an eternal sign, lo yikareit, never destroyed, which means that there is a covenant that has been entered into between God and the Jewish people, a covenant that is eternal. He may also be saying here, one of the ideas that we've demonstrated a number of places in the Nevi'im, that when Jews return for a third time to Eretz Yisrael, lo yikareit, that will never have an ending. It will never end. There will never be a break in that covenant. Kol Amar Hashem. So says God, Shimru Mishpat Vasu Tzedakah. Malbim always explains that Mishpat represents the relationship between man and fellow man, justice. By the way, one of the easy ways to remember this is Parshat Mishpatim. What is Parshat Mishpatim in Torah all about? It's all of the relationship between man and fellow man. Ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher hasil lefneim. Vasu tzedakah. Tzedakah is the relationship between man and God. Of course, it's interesting that what does Hashem, what does the Navi, in the name of God, put first? What comes first is the relationship between man and fellow man. And then comes, in a secondary manner, comes the relationship between man and God. You know, if one is going to be a frumegid, being Adam Lamakom in his relationship between himself and God, but not so being Adam Akavero between man and fellow man, then it's absolutely meaningless. Because one whose relationship with fellow man is in need of a great deal of correction, it therefore must mean that his relationship with God is a poor one. Because our relationship with fellow man has to be based on the idea that man is created in the image of God. If I see God in man, then I'm going to treat him with respect. But if I don't see God in man, I'm not going to treat him with respect. Because my salvation is close to coming, and my righteousness to be revealed. The moment is close. The fact is that it's always close. Because when we're talking about the parsha of Tshuva, so you may recall that we said, everybody agrees, that if Klal Yisrael does Tshuva, we can force redemption to come before its time. So therefore, sort of, it's always there. It's close. It can be revealed. And therefore, Ashrei Enosh, Ya'asezot, fortunate or happy is the man who will do this, who Ben Adam Yachazidba, and the Son of Man who will hold on to Torah, Shomer Shabbat Mechalalo, the Shomer Yado Me'asot Korah. You have to be a Shomer Shabbat, from desecrating it, that you shall not desecrate it, the Shomer Yado, and one who guards his hand, Me'asot Korah, from doing anything that is bad. Va'yomar ben aneichar hanilvel Hashem leimor, let not the stranger hanilvel Hashem who has joined, levaya means to accompany. It's not only in other words, a levaya is accompanying a person on his last journey. But the Rashi brings it in Chumash, when you have a guest in your house, so not only do you have to do achila, give him achila, shtia, eating and drinking, but there's also a mitzvah of levaya, to accompany him as he leaves. You don't just, okay, goodbye, and let him go to the door. And it says in like Avram, when the angels left his house, he accompanied them part of the way. You don't just, you know, take somebody to the door, go a little bit beyond that. So Nilva, why did Leah call her third son? She called Levi because she said, "Hapam Yilave Eli Ishi, my husband is going to be walking with me, accompanying me." Why? Because they knew Beruach HaKodesh that there are going to be 12 children, 12 tribes. And there are four wives. So that means each one should be apportioned 3 children. When she has her third, then she knows that she has fulfilled that which she was supposed to fulfill. And therefore her husband is going to accompany her. He will feel close to her. So now the prophet is saying, the ben hanechar, the stranger, hanilvoel Hashem leimor, let not the stranger who has joined with God, let him not say, Havdel Yavdilani Hashem Yalamo. God has separated me from his people. Why would the Ben Hanecha, that means somebody who has converted to Judaism, why will he feel this way? So now, Malbin says, because the Ger does not have a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was a portion, was given out to the tribes, Lebeit Avotam, so he may feel like a second-class citizen. Rashi learns slightly different. Rashi says that the Pasuk is telling the prospective convert, don't think that you're separate and distinct and you're second class. And the words of Rashi are that a person should not say, Lama Edgayer, why should I convert? Halo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yavdilani Mi'alamo, God will separate me from his people, Kishe Yishalem Scharam, when he's going to give out reward. In other words, it may very well be that, you know, if you're a 100% blue-blooded Jew, you're going to get one kind of reward, but the Ger may feel that he's not similar to others. And then Vayomar HaSoris, the Soris is the one who is incapable of having a child, capable of giving birth. So he's going to say to himself, well, why should I keep mitzvahs? Hein ani eitz yavesh. I'm a dry piece of wood. In other words, I have no future. You want to take a closer look at it. We're talking about the prospective ger or the ger, and we're talking about the Jew who cannot have children. The first doesn't have a past. The second doesn't have a future. So each one of them says, well, I'm just going to be different. Why should I? You know, I'm going to lose out. I'm going to lose out. So the Navi says in the name of God, don't think that for a moment. So says God to those who are incapable of having children, who will keep my Shabbatot, ubaharu ba'asher chafatzti, and choose that which I wish, umachazikim bivriti, and hold on to my covenant. There are three things that I mentioned here. Yishmeru et shabtotai means the declaration of faith. Shabbos is the way in which we sort of pledge allegiance by saying we believe that the world was brought into being by one God, Creator. That is Yishmeru et shabtotai. Ubaharu ba'asher chafatzti represents Bein Adam Lechavero. What I really want is that there should be harmony between man and fellow man. Umachazikim Bivriti, the Brit is Torah. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Imlo Briti Yomam Valaila, if not for my covenant of day and night, Chukot Shamayim Va'aretz Lo Santi, I would never have made the laws of heaven and earth. And the Gemara explains, what is the Brit of Yomam Valaila? What is the covenant of day and night? The covenant of day and night is the pasuk at the beginning of Yehoshua, where God says to Yehoshua, V'hagita bo Yomam Valaila, study Torah day and night. So therefore, Brit is Torah. So what we have over here is Yishmeru et Shabtotai is the declaration of faith and creed, what we believe. Ubaharu ba'asher chafatzti represents the fulfillment of mitzvahs, and most specifically the mitzvot bein adam ha'makom. Umachazikin b'vriti, those who hold on to my covenant, which is the covenant of Torah. Another proof. Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim ba. Machazikim represents the study of Torah or the support. Many of the forces say machazikim means those who support Torah. So that we have the three major aspects: faith, deed, and study of Torah. So says God to those who will, it seems, will not have a future, who will be Shomer Shabtotai, who Baharu Basher Chafatzti, who Machazikim Bevediti, V'natati Lahem Bebeiti Ubechamotai. I will give them in my house and within my walls, Yad Vashem. This is, of course, where it comes from. The word Yad, in addition to it meaning hand, has another meaning in Tanakh. The word Yad means a place. A place. Avshalom was buried in Yad Avshalom. There's a kibbutz, Yad Mordechai. Right. Yad Mordechai doesn't mean, you know, the hand of Mordechai, or Yad Avshalom. A Yad means a place. And you have it a number of places in Tanakh. The word, I will give them a place and a name, b'beiti u'b'chamotai. I will give them Yad Vashem, tov mi'banim u'b'banot, better than sons and daughters. Shem olam etein lo. Now, immortality, I mean, in children, of course, we see ourselves living on. There is a sense of immortality. So the Navi is saying, in the name of God, there are other ways in which one can guarantee one's immortality. And that is, in my house and in my walls, I will give them a name, Asheloi Karet. Ubnei HaNechar, Anilvim Al Hashem L'Sharto. So he started off talking about the Bnei HaNechar, the Ger, and he talks about the Saris. And first he talks about the Saris, and now he goes back again, Ubnei HaNechar, Anilvim Al Hashem L'Sharto. The stranger who accompanies God to serve him, Ula Ahavet Shem Hashem, and to love the name of God, Liyot Lo La'avadim, to be servants unto him. The addition of this phrase, Lihiyot Lo La'avadim, I think represents the idea it's expressed at the end of Parshat Bahar, where God says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, unto me the children of Israel are servants, avadai hein, they are my servants, asher hotzeiti otam me'eretz Mitzrayim, because I took them out of the land of Egypt. It means the Ger, who now becomes part of the Jewish people, joins the ranks of those who are Avadim, those who are servants to God. Kol Shomer Shabbat Mechalalo. Anyone who will keep my Shabbos so that he does not desecrate it, Umachazikim Ivriti, and who hold on to my covenant of Torah. And for all of them, I will bring them to my holy mountain, and I will give them joy in the house of my prayer. Their korban ola and their zvachim. Now, you should know the halacha is the following. The halacha is that a non-Jew is permitted to bring a korban to the Beit HaMikdash. But there is one condition. The korban has to be a korban ola. There are basically two, if we want to talk about sacrifice in general, there are two general categories. The ola is that which is completely consumed on the altar, completely burned. The zevach represents the korban shlamim, where it's eaten. Part of it goes to the Kohen, part of it is brought upon the altar, but the rest is eaten. A goy, the Gemara says, can bring a korban ola and not a korban shlamim. One of the places that we know it from is the first chapter in Eov. In the first chapter of Eov, it says that Eov had seven sons and he had three daughters, and they would, the family was a family. I mean, this was real togetherness. They would all get together one day of the week. Sunday it was this one, Monday at that one, every 7 days, that means every 7 days they would all get together for a meal at the home of one of the sons, and then they would start all over again. And on the eighth day, Eov would bring a korban ola to God, lest his children had sinned. The Mepharshim say that a non-Jew is capable of understanding an ola. He cannot fully understand the korban shlamim. The ola, that which is completely consumed, you know, all to God. But the idea that I can sit down and have a holy steak, in other words, take the physical and turn it into something spiritual, is an idea that is beyond them. Classic example, of course, is Christianity. Celibacy is an ideal. They cannot see the sanctity and the holiness in that kind of a relationship. Can't be. So therefore, the real holy one is the one who is celibate. But if a man's passion, man and woman, if their passion, better that they marry than that they burn. Who said that? I think that was John or Paul or Matthew. I don't know. I know our Tanakh a little bit. I don't know that too well. Better that a man marry than that he burn. Because they were incapable of seeing sanctity in that physical relationship, just as they are incapable of seeing sanctity in sitting down to a meal and turning Gashmius into Ruchnius, Chol into Kodesh. By the way, there was reason for it. And in part, we were at fault. When Christianity saw that it was not going to make inroads within Judaism, then there was only one other world population that they could confront, and that was the pagan and heathen population. The pagan and heathen population had taken everything physical and turned it into what they called spiritual. Every ugly kind of relationship between man and woman, every physical relationship, was something that became a source of so-called sanctity and holiness. For Christianity to combat the pagan world, they had to go to the other extreme, which means the following. If you take all three, Judaism is in the middle. Judaism, Torah understands that you can take the physical and turn it into something spiritual. Everything in the world can be made holy. The pagan world, there was one condition. The condition always was in Judaism within the confines of the halacha. The pagan world was completely wanton. They gave complete free rein to all of their passions, and not only that, they did more. It became a mitzvah. Absolute promiscuity, orgies, all became mitzvah in the pagan world. That's a fact. That's clearly a fact. They worshipped nature to the point that anything that you enjoy, well, do it, and it's a mitzvah. Christianity, because it was rejected by Judaism, therefore had to do battle with the pagan world. And the only way it could do battle with the pagan world was to reject it outright, not compromising at all. And therefore, everything that was holy by the pagan world had to become absolutely treif by the Christian world. So therefore, ultimately, the priest and the nun, the celibate, became holy. And physical relationships, or just eating, maybe it was a wafer and a little wine or something, but otherwise everything else. The physical was rejected by the Christian world. Neither one of the two made it, because both of them had really built in a self-destruct into their own system. At the time, because in the ultimate sense, what would be the ultimate success of Christianity? If every male would be a priest and every female would be a nun, so what would that mean? That Christianity would one generation, right? So in other words, the only way that they survive is on Balei Aveira. Yeah. But in its ultimate sense, it was a self-destruct. By the way, the pagan world most probably was self-destructing in many other ways. I don't know. By today, most probably, AIDS would have destroyed the pagan world, wiped it out. The only one that was there in the middle was Klal Yisrael. Therefore, a goy could bring a korban olah. That's why Eov brought a korban olah, because he was able to understand the idea of something that's completely burned before God. But to sit down and have a nice hefty meal, l'shem shamayim, was something that was beyond his ability to comprehend. Therefore, the pasuk is very careful and making a terribly important statement, v'haviyotim el har kochi, v'simachtim bevei tfilati, and then olotehem vizivichehem. Zevach always represents a korban that you eat. Two examples from Tanakh. When Shaul is looking for the donkeys that were lost, 3 days they're going through the land of Binyamin, they don't find the donkeys. So then his boy says, listen, let's go to this city up here, Mitzpah, there's a seer there by the name of Shmuel. Let's go ask him. So they come to the city, and there the girls are around the well, and they ask him, where is the seer? So there's one of the fascinating psukim. It's a long pasuk. They say, he's here. He's soon going up to the Zevach. If you will go now, you'll meet him possibly at the entrance to the city while he's on the way to the Zevach. Chazal explained that what could have been said in two words, yashar, yashar, and there you'll meet him. What could have been said in two words, they said in many, because Shaul was very handsome and the girls wanted to look at him, so they kept talking to him. And they tell him that he's making a Zevach. They come into town and they meet Shmuel. And they ask Shmuel, can you give us directions to the seer? So he says, Anochi haro'eh, I am the seer. And come, I knew you were coming, and we've prepared part of the Zevach for you. When David wants Yonatan to find out whether Shaul wants to kill him, so he tells him, listen, it's going to be Rosh Chodesh, and we're all going to sit down to eat, etc. So, and I'm not going to be there, so it depends how will your father respond or react to the fact that I'm not there. And Shaul says, Madua lo ba ben Yishai el ha-zevach hayom? Why didn't ben Yishai come to the Zevach? Zevach always represents a sacrifice that is going to be eaten, not consumed. Yes. I needed a break. Huh? So I'm saying that then, at that point in time, even the goy will be able to understand not only Ola, but Zavach as well. Even the one who doesn't convert will then, something that he was not able to relate to throughout all of history, he will be able to relate to it then. Because it seems clear that the pasuk is talking about, because it says, Ki Beiti. You know, I could learn the pasuk another way. I could learn it another way. I can divide the pasuk in two. V'haviyotim al har kochi v'simachtim v'vei tfilati olotem v'zivchem l'ratzon al mizbechi. That first part of the pasuk is talking about the ger. That first part of the pasuk is talking about the ger. The second part of the pasuk is talking about all people. Ki beiti beit Tefillah yikarei lechol hamim. Prayer, all nations. Right. So it could be understood, the pasuk can be understood in two ways. Good.
Okay.
So obviously, of course, the idea that's expressed here is an idea that's expressed many places in Tanakh. And it's something that Yeshayahu said at the very beginning in chapter 2, that all of the nations of the world are going to come to Har Beit Hashem, the mountain of the house of God, and the mountain of the house of God will rise above all other mountains, and all people are going to come there. Ni'um Hashem Elokim. Ni'um Hashem Elokim. So says Hashem Elokim. He says the following. Od ar mikabetz nidchei Yisrael, the one who gathers in the dispersed of Israel. Remember again, over here we have the idea of tshuva and geula and kibbutz galiot together. Od ar kabetz olav l'nik batzav. I will also gather others in together with Yisrael. Who are the others in? So the first will say, yes, other nations of the world will come, but will join the people of Israel. In other words, ultimately, in the end, when Jews return, and by return we are talking return in two of its meanings, returning physically to Eretz Yisrael and returning spiritually to God, there are many nations of the world that are also going to join. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not even, I don't want to say it too loud. I don't know. I keep going from one to the other. The non-Jews who have come from the former Soviet Union. I don't know. I don't know what God's plan is. But I don't think that this is just something to be rejected out of hand. There's something taking place over here. I've always thought that it was part of this pasuk. Oda kabeitz alav l'nikbatzav. It may very well be that maybe they were brought here so that they will ultimately vote against giving up all of Eretz Yisrael. I don't know what they were brought here. But that I can't believe that an ingathering of people to Eretz Yisrael can have such negative connotations. Because any ingathering of people is the work of God. I just have difficulty saying Peruvian Indians. There are Peruvian Indians. There are there are all sorts of groups. I mean, it's all part of the Oda Kabeza Love the Nikbatzah. 10 Lost Tribes. Come up against.
Yes.
There are those who see references here to the war of Gog and Magog, those who are going to come up against Eretz Yisrael and will ultimately be crushed. But what's another few psukim I have to learn today, because they're so meaningful, it's unbelievable. It's great. Kol Chayso Sodai, all of the beasts of the field, a soyu, come le'echol kol chayto bayar, to eat or consume all of the beasts of the forest. There are two kinds of beasts that he talks about here: the beasts of the sade, the field, and the beasts of the forest. Rashi says, come here. And what he's talking about is, come here because you're going to be consumed. And who's he talking about? Those who are going to come against Eretz Yisrael to destroy Eretz Yisrael. You're going to come here and you're going to be consumed. Because Chayso Sadeh, the beasts of the forest are more powerful than the beasts of the field. So, watch. It means, according to the Malbim, this is beginning, it's a new chapter that's beginning. And in this new chapter, he's going to talk about those who are going to come up against Eretz Yisrael to consume. Now watch what happens. Sofov Ivrim Kulam Lo Yadou. Now, I'm just going to translate and explain. I'm not going to, in any way, attempt to relate this to anything contemporary going on. Sofov, do you believe me?
No.
Good. Sofov means those who should be able to look, those who see. HaKadosh HaTzofer, the newspaper, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the davening of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is referred to as Sofer Mabit. He looks and he sees. Sofer means the leadership who are supposed to see what's going to be. Ivrim, they're blind. Kulam, all of them, Lo Yado. They don't really know. They don't really know what's happening. You know what they are? I mean, for this, if you repeat this, I can certainly be arrested for incitement. But listen to the Navi. And I'm not reading anything into the Navi. Kulam klavim il... Kulam klavim ilmim. They are all silent dogs. What's the purpose of a dog? The dog who is with the, who comes with the shepherd, he's supposed to bark if there is danger, right? But if you have a dog that's mute and cannot bark, kulam klavim yilmim, lo yuchlu linbark. They can't bark. They can't bark. Hozim shochvim. Ohavei lonum. Hozim means really people who have illusions. They lie on their beds, in other words, inactive, living an illusion. Ohavei lonum. They love to slumber, to dremlin. You know, they're not tuned into reality. What they're supposed to be doing is looking a few steps ahead and being able to see and perceive and understand what the future, certainly what the immediate future holds. But they're klavim ilmin. But what's even worse is the next passage. Haklavim azei nefesh. The dogs have chutzpah. In other words, not only don't they see, and they don't do the job that they're supposed to do, they have chutzpah, lo yod'u sova. They don't know how to be sated. They never have enough. Vehema ro'im, and they're the shepherds. Lo yod'u havin. They don't know enough to understand what's happening. Kulam l'darkam panu, all of them go their own way. They have their own interests in mind, and because they have their own interests in mind, whether it be power or a seat at the Memshalah or a Volvo or Taktzivim, because this is what they have in mind, ish livitzo mikotzeu. Bitzo is his grasp. How do they translate bitzo? A game. Each one is interested in his own game. In other words, from all sides of the spectrum, mi kotzeu, from one end to the other, everybody's interested in their own game. So here's the shepherd. The shepherd is supposed to take care of the sheep. The dog is supposed to sound the alarm of warning. But the shepherds are blind. They live in illusion. The dogs are silenced, and everybody goes about his own business. And do you know how they live? They tell you, come, ekhoyayin, I will take wine, v'nizba'o sheikhar, we will become really drunk with intoxicating beverages. The nizba'ah comes from the word a rebellious child. The rebellious child in Parashat Ki Tetzei is a zoleil v'sobei. Zoleil means that he eats a large amount of meat, and sobei means that he Gemara describes a certain measure of Italian wine. You know, their minds are numb. V'hoya kaze yom achon, you know what we're going to do today? Huh? Saba? What about Saba? I can't hear. Why? So you're talking about a grandfather? Is that what grandfathers do? I like a little wine. No. Rashi says, Kach hayo omim zeh lazeh. And you know the illusion that they live? V'hoya kazeh yom achar. Tomorrow's going to be the same. We're going to enjoy life. We're going to drink wine. We'll have to drink wine because there won't be enough water. All right. Go ahead.
It says they give an example on the summer I'll take wine. With example, with the money they would take from their people unjustly.
With the money they will take from their people unjustly. So we have now the reform of Hamas also in here. These psukim are an extreme indictment of blind leadership, leadership that is completely wrapped up in themselves, and therefore they can't see anything else. They're going to enjoy life. V'hoya kaze yom achol, like this, it's going to be tomorrow. Gadol yeter ma'od, even more. Life is going to be even greater. It's sort of, I think of the band playing as the Titanic is going down. That was heroic. But over here we're talking about there are serious problems. And you have to deal seriously with serious problems. But there's a certain illusion. Hozim, shochvim, they're asleep. They're asleep. They don't see what's going to happen. Let's go. You know, I'm on a roll. Let's keep learning some more psukim. Hatzadik avad, the tzadik is lost. Vain ish sam alev, and nobody pays attention. Va'am shei chesed ne'esafim, and people of great kindness ne'esafim are gathered into God, meaning they die. Vain meivin, and nobody understands. They don't understand that when there's a loss of a great man, you have to realize ki mipnei hara'ah ne'esaf hatzadik, either because of the evil or before the evil that is to befall them, that tzaddik is removed from the world so that he shouldn't have to see it. In other words, the loss of a tzaddik is something that should sound a bell, a warning signal. Why are they taken away from the world? Yavo shalom, let him come in peace. Yanuchu al mishkivotam, let them lie upon their beds. Holeich nichocho, those who go in the right path, those who go in the straight path, they should not have to suffer from what's going to happen. Batem, and you, those who remain after the tzaddik has been taken from the world, kidavu heina, come close over here. Bnei onena, zera mino eith batizne. Bnei onena is from the word ma'onein, magic. The sons of magicians. Zera mino'eif, children of the seed. Now Rashi, all of the Farshim say, zera mino'eif batizne. Zera mino'eif means the homosexual. Batizne means the one who sins heterosexually. Terrible things are going on. Terrible things are going on. And nobody stops to think that maybe there terrible things are in the offing. Nobody stops to think. And signals have been sent. In other words, if the dogs can't bark and the leadership can't see, the Rebbein Shalom has other ways to sound the signal that danger is coming. And that's by the loss of a tzaddik. The loss of a tzaddik. Al mi tit anogu, al mi tarchivu peh, ta'arichu lashon, halo atem yaldei pesha, zera sheker. You who have turned away from me, al mi tit anogu, from whom are you going to have oneg? Who is going to be your delight? Meaning, who are you going to depend on? Who are you going to lean on? If you have rejected God and you don't have leadership, the tzaddik is gone. Al mi tit anogu, upon whom will you have delight? Al mi tarchivu peh, upon whom are you going to open your mouth wide? What he means is, the Klal Yisrael spoke ill of their prophets. Yeshayahu suffered, Yirmiyahu suffered. We learned earlier at the end of chapter 49, we got an insight into the suffering of Yeshayahu, how he was abused. Ultimately, by the way, he was assassinated, he was killed. He must have been in his late 90s or beyond his late 90s. He suffered because there were those who opposed the spiritual leadership. Al mi tarchivu peh, about whom are you going to open your mouth wide? Tarichu lashon, your tongue is going to be long. Halo atem yildei pesha, you are those, the children of sin. Zera sheker, seed that is false. Hanechamim ba'elim tahakol eitz ra'anan, Shochatei, Hayaladim, Banechalim, Tachat Si'ifei Ha Slaim. Hanechamim, Ba'elim. So, Pshat Rashi seems to say is that they take comfort in the trees. Trees was something that they worshipped. Their worship was under the trees. Tachat kol eitz ranan, under every fresh tree. Because remember, they worshipped nature. And it was out there in nature. As you will recall, was last week's Parshat HaShavua Shir, why Pesach, the Meshech Chochma says, why Pesach is in the spring? Because in the spring, nature bursts out in all of its glory. Its most intense way of impressing itself upon the world is in spring. And spring represented idolatry. And we slaughtered the idolatry of the nations in spring by bringing the Korban Pesach. So here it is, the fresh trees, beautiful nature. Shochatei hayaladim banechalim, those who slaughtered children banechalim, yes, child sacrifice out by the rivers in the wadis. Child sacrifice was something that was accepted in the pagan world. Tachat si'ipei haslaim, under the cracks and the crevices in the stones. B'chalkei nachal chalkeich. Chalkei nachal, I think it was by David, he says, you know, in a riverbed or near the riverbed there are smooth stones. Is that what the English says? Chalkei, chalak, glat stones. Chalak. It's very, you know, the kind that the children would throw into the water, into the pond, so that it skims across. Those are the Chalkei Nachal. I believe David, when he goes out toward Goliath, takes one of the smooth stones in the Nachal, because they meet in the Wadi. That's where the great confrontation takes place. b'chalkei nachal chalkeich, with the smooth stones of the nachal chalkeich, that will be your portion. You will be stoned with them. Heim heim goraleich. They are the they are going to be your destiny. Gam lahem shafachta nesech. Before them you poured out libations. He's talking about their service of the idols. He'elita mincha. For them you brought up mincha. Al ele enachem, God says, am I going to forgive you for this? Am I going to sort of forget? Vayinochem Hashem. I think we have it by the Egel and by the Meraglim. Vayinochem Hashem al Hara'a. Vayinochem, God changes his mind. He regrets that which he wanted to do. So he says, Ha'al Ele Enochem, and such terrible things will I regret and change my mind, so to speak. Al Har Gavoa Venisa, on a tall and a high mountain. Some Mishkavech, you've placed your bed to lie down. Gam Shom Olita Lizbarach Zavach. Also there you went up to bring a sacrifice.
Zevach.
You know why? Because Jews wanted the best of both worlds. To worship idols and eat the steak. In other words, they worshipped idols in a sense in the way they had learned to worship God. They're still able to have a zevach. Very good. Your question and my answer. Va'achar ha'delet v'ha'mezuzah sam zichroneich. So he says the number of things that he says after the door and the mezuzah inside the house, sam zichroneich, that's where you placed your memory or your remembrance. What he means is the following. He has been using the example of znut, of adultery or promiscuous relationships. So he says, you know, sort of you hide behind the door and the mezuzah. It takes place in secret, but I know about it. In Yirmiyahu we have something else. In Yirmiyahu it says that on the inside of their doors they would have sort of the picture or the image of an idol. So anybody walking by outside, you know what you saw outside? A gois and mezuzah. But inside was the idol. I mean, it doesn't have to be that that's precisely what happened. What it means is the one who presents one image to the world, one face to the world, but that then there's another completely different face from within. V'achar ha'delef v'ha'mezuzah, behind the door and the mezuzah, sam zichroneich, there you place that which represents you, your memory. Ki me'iti gilit v'ta'ali hirchaft mishkaveich v'tikrotloch mehem ohaft mishkavam yad chazita. I'm going to read the Rashi over here, not a simple passage. Rashi says, ki me'iti. I left my big Tanakh with the big letters at home, you understand? All right. Ki me'iti gilit v'ta'ali etzli hayit shochevet v'galit ha'kisui shohayum v'chusim yachad v'ta'ali me'etzli. You used to live with me, but you took off the covers and you left me. Vatali, you went up from me. Hirchavt mishkaveich. You opened up your bed wide in order to receive adulterers. Vatikrot loch mehem, and you made a covenant with them. Of course, the metaphor means you had God. We had entered into a relationship, but you sort of left me in order to receive all sorts of others in my place. Ahavt mishkavam, you loved to lie down with them. Yad chazit. Yad? Same meaning. Same yad as we had. The natati lehem the beiti. Yad Vashem. You saw that as your place. Vatoshuri, next pasuk, Vatoshuri Lamelach Vashemen, Vatarbidi Kuchoyich, v'tishalchi tzirayich ad meirachok v'tashpili ad sheol. Four parts to the pasuk. V'tashuri lamelach v'shemen, Rashi says, v'ani mitchila gidaltich. At first, I raised you to greatness. V'ayit mikabelet pnei malkeich b'chol minei tatlukim. You received the presence of your king. V'tashuri means you saw. You saw lamelach v'shemen. All shemen represents all of the beauty and the pomp and circumstance. V'tarbi rikuchoyech. Rikuchoyech is cosmetics, right? A beit mirkachat, right? Rikuchayach means something that is sort of, you know, mixed together. Here it's talking about a woman who puts on all sorts of things. Tarbi rikuchayach. V'tishalchi tzirayach. You sent out your messengers all over the world. Ad meirachot. In other words, when you were with me, you had greatness. When you left me, v'tashpili ad sheol, you fell down into the very depths. Berov darkeich, berov darkeich, yagad, you became exhausted from the many roads upon which you traveled. Berov darkeich, yagad, lo amart, no ash. You never said that you're going to throw up your hands and give up hope. You kept looking all over, in a sense, looking for fulfillment. You know, looking for fulfillment, and you never gave up. Chayat yodeich motzot alkein lo chalit. You found, Rashi says, chayat yodeich motzot, sorech yodcho motzot, hitzlach v'masech. You know what happened? You succeeded. You know, it isn't always true that crime doesn't pay. In the short term, crime may pay. So what happened really was, chayat yodeich, the life that you wanted to find with your hand, what's up, you found? Al-kein lo chalit. Therefore, you didn't get sick, you didn't get upset, you went out there to find a life of your own, and you did it. And what you didn't realize, is that ultimately you're going to fall, to be continued in Yisrael next week.